Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read from verse 6. Now he has actually raised us up with Christ and sees us seated with him in heavenly places because he has placed us in Christ Jesus. He's also filled us, but he has done this so that in the future we might demonstrate that the riches of his grace are so immense that nothing can be compared to such riches. And the grace he has shown to us, and this grace he has shown to us because of his kindness towards us, expressed in all Christ Jesus has done for us. You see, it is only because of his grace that you have been saved. All you did was to put your faith in his willingness to be merciful and gracious towards you. So your salvation is not anything you could possibly have worked out for yourselves. It is completely God's gift to you. You can never boast that you have achieved acceptance by God through the works you have performed. The truth is that we are the work of God's own hands. Now we live in Christ Jesus. We are able to do the good works that are the evidence of our salvation. It is good to know that these are the very works that God planned and prepared for us to accomplish. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thought that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And some of you yesterday in the lecture were teasing out, well, what does this really mean? I mean, what practical difference can it make to our lives now that we're seated in heavenly places? Jesus went and had a meal with Matthew and some other Pharisees. And as was often the case, a meal with Matthew and other tax collectors and sinners and so on. And as was often the case, the Pharisees were highly critical that Jesus should go and eat with such people. It would be much more offensive then than it would be to our thinking now, because to eat with someone in the time of Jesus was an act of fellowship. It was not just having a meal, but it was a sign that of fellowship. So it was like the Pharisees saying, "What are you doing having fellowship with these sinners?" And Jesus quoted the words from Hosea, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Now, the Pharisees were very religious people, and they made all kinds of sacrifices in order to keep the law. They were very particular about that. But you see, a sacrifice is what you do. Mercy is what God does. And Jesus was putting the emphasis where it needed to be, on what God does. But for them to understand that if God is merciful, then they are to be merciful. So he then says, "I haven't come to call the righteous or those who consider themselves righteous. I've come to call sinners, those who recognize that they are sinners and need the mercy of God." Now, Paul is picking up this same kind of thinking in these verses we've just read from Ephesians 2. We have been saved not by anything we have done, not by any religious sacrifices we have ever made, but it is entirely and completely the work of God. And it's a work that is dependent upon his mercy and his grace. Now, by that mercy, he has actually made it possible for us to be seated in heavenly places. So what? As I said, it's a lovely thought, but what does it mean? What practical implications does that have for our lives? For living as disciples now? And there's a wonderful truth that we need to get hold of this morning. In that vision that I shared on Sunday of heaven, there were, you know, I saw this vast number of thrones, of people. I mean, it's not seeing vast number of chairs, but of these people. But you see, they were all those who are enthroned in heavenly places. And what they all shouted at me at the end together was, "Colin, we are all here by God's mercy." Now, you have your place among those redeemed. As we saw on Sunday, Jesus said, "I go before to prepare a place for you." So you have your place because of his mercy and because of his grace in those heavenly places. Because you are in Christ Jesus. Now, we're all blessed here to have this revelation that we are in Christ and of what we have in Christ. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. Because here is a wonderful revelation of heaven. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the city's street. On either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Because you are seated in heavenly places, God has blessed you in two remarkable ways. You remember that when Adam and Eve sinned, they were thrown out of the garden and no longer had access to the tree that was in the middle of the garden, which was the tree of life. And what Jesus did on the cross by opening up the way into the Holy of Holies was to restore to us access to the tree of life. Now, that's the tree of God's life. It's the tree of eternal life. Which is why Jesus said that anyone who believes in me and the one who sent me has eternal life. He will not be condemned, but has already passed from death to life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't get too excited. It's Tuesday. So, we have access to the tree of life, but going through the center of this heavenly city, of heaven itself, there is a river. The river of life that flows from the throne of God. Ezekiel had that vision of the river flowing out of the temple. out of the presence of God, really from the throne of God. It's the same kind of sense. Here we see this river of life. And if we were to read on the whole chapter, we see that wherever that river goes, it brings life. Whether there's desert, whether it flows into the Dead Sea, which of course is so saline that it can't, there's no life in it, no fish or anything like that. But it makes the water sweet. It changes and transforms the water, and life can then come into what before was dead. Now, go to Psalm 46. Because this psalm was written 1,000 years before John had his vision of the river of God that goes through the city of God, through the heavenly Jerusalem. And he says here in verse 4, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. The kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. But the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Now here, David is speaking of this same river. This river that flows through the throne. Now if you have your place in heavenly places, because God has seated you in heaven, in Christ Jesus, you have access to that river. And what God intends is that you should come and drink from that river every day. From his throne, that river of life flows. Drinking of that river brings life, brings healing, transforms what was dead into what is alive. It transforms situations. Now, you can misuse the access to this river if you think that it's there for you. That what God wants is for you to come and drink of that river so you can simply be blessed. But if you realize that he wants that river to flow through your life, so that from your innermost being there flows out rivers of living water. Now, John explained, you see, that this referred to the working of the Holy Spirit. But this living water, this water that the Holy Spirit makes real in our lives, is the water from this river of life that flows from the throne of God, that flows through the kingdom, that we have access to because we are seated in heavenly places. This isn't some sort of wild speculative theology of St. Paul. This is a profound truth. It's a truth that David understood 1,000 years before him. That God gave David the revelation of this river that runs through heaven. David was a man before his time, really was. He understood, he received so much revelation from God that you would think he was a Christian. You would think that he'd actually had a new birth experience and was filled with the Spirit. He was anointed, wasn't he? But, he couldn't have access to heaven until after Jesus had died on the cross. And then, of course, he was raised with Jesus. Turn to Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. You see, what is the way to prosper? To keep drinking of that river. But who is the one who really has access to that river according to this psalm? Well, it's someone who doesn't sit with the sinners in the not in the sense that Jesus sat with them, but in the sense of sharing in their sinful life. But he delights in the word of the Lord. He delights in the law of God. He walks, if we put this in the terms which we were talking on Sunday, he walks in the truth. Now that means not that he has any righteousness of his own, but he lives completely dependent on the mercy and the grace of God. He knows that he has access to the very best that God has because of his mercy. Therefore, he understands how important it is for him to walk in that mercy. Now, there's two words that the scripture puts together to show us that there is a close relationship with them. Now, you would say, well, mercy and grace. Yes. Because to be able to receive grace from God depends upon his mercy. If he wasn't merciful, then he couldn't be gracious towards us. But there's another word that goes with mercy. Joy. You see, Jesus made it very clear, didn't he, that we had to be merciful. Whenever you pray, you must be merciful to others. He said, whenever you pray, you must forgive anybody against whom you've got anything. Why? Because, you see, all prayer can only be answered through the mercy of God. David was continually saying, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. And we saw on Sunday, you know, people like Bartimaeus, have mercy on me. Not heal my blindness, but have mercy on me, the person that I am. I don't deserve to receive anything from you, Lord. Be merciful to me. This was the way in which people understood they needed to approach God. And actually, if you know anything about church history and revival movements, this has always been the way that great men and women of prayer have approached God, through his mercy. You know, you hear of these saints who wore out the knees of their trousers because they spent so much time humbly before the throne of God, dependent upon his mercy. While you are walking in God's mercy, you are full of joy. Yes. As soon as you stop being merciful to others, I guarantee, I'll give you 100% guarantee you'll lose your joy. David had to pray, restore to me the joy of my salvation. He'd lost his joy because he'd actually sinned in a way that got him out of the mercy of God until he repented and had to be restored to that mercy. And how does that great Psalm 51 start? Have mercy. He's crying out for God's mercy. God, be merciful to me. And you see, as part of that, restore to me the joy that I once knew, the joy of knowing that I was saved, the joy of knowing that I had access to this river of life that flows from your throne, the joy of knowing that I was one with you, that you are my shepherd, caring for me so that I would lack nothing. As soon as you lose sight of the mercy of God, you lose your joy. Now, when you lose sight of mercy, you know what happens? You become critical and judgmental. And actually, you begin to feel defeated by the circumstances instead of overcoming the circumstances. And all that is the simple result of losing sight of God's mercy. Not just his mercy towards you, but your need, therefore, to be merciful towards others. Now, have you ever thought, I mean, we rejoice that it's true, but have you ever thought why the Word of God says his mercies are new every morning? Have you ever really thought about it? Why does God want his mercy to be new every morning? Is it just that we need forgiveness? No. I mean, that's part of it, obviously. But no. He wants every day to begin with a revelation of his mercy. He wants you to begin the day praising God that he is merciful towards you. It's another day of his mercy. Why? Because he knows if that's how you begin the day, you will live the day being merciful to others. Yes. And while you're living in that mercy, you will rejoice. Yes. You will enter into the joy of your Lord. You stop being merciful, immediately the joy goes. And actually, so does the peace. Because all these things have a knock-on effect. You know, mercy, joy, peace, and so on. So God wants us to live in the constant revelation of his mercy, constant thankfulness for his mercy. Now, if we do that, then we will be able to avail ourselves of all that is available to us through his grace. You know, Paul talks about here we stand today in the grace of God. But you see, the grace doesn't flow when you stop being merciful because you've stopped living in the revelation of his mercy towards you. That's why Jesus says, if you do not forgive, your Father won't forgive you. And you see, if your Father won't forgive you, then the flow of mercy is temporarily stopped, and therefore so is the flow of grace. It isn't that God doesn't want to be gracious to you. He wants to be gracious, but he's saying, well, I can show you my grace so long as you are merciful. Yeah. Are you there?
Yeah.
You stop being merciful and you become judgmental. And we saw on Sunday, you see, mercy is the outworking of God's love. Grace is the expression of his love, what he gives in love. And if we are to love one another as he has loved us, and he's loved us by being merciful towards us, then we have to be merciful towards one another, or we're not obeying the new commandment. And that means we also have to be gracious to one another, living to give, living to serve, living to bless, living to encourage. Now, all of us get things wrong sometimes. And the whole purpose of that vision was not, you know, to compare one believer with another, but just to show all those great men of God that we read of in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, that now have their thrones in heaven, all of them messed up big time. I mean really big time at certain points in their lives. All of them. But they're there because of his mercy. And we have in the scripture the record of their great exploits as well as their failures. If I could live my life all over again, like you, I would choose not to do the things that I regret. But we can never live the past again. The important thing is to learn from the things that we would regret and not look back. Because we don't want to become pillars of salt.
No, that's it.
But we want to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We want to keep moving ahead. We thank God that we're followed by mercy and goodness every day of our lives. So if you look back, instead of seeing the thing you regret, you immediately see, oh, mercy, and you get back. Goodness. Oh, goodness, yes. I'm reaching out for more of that goodness. I'm coming to the river every day to drink of the life that flows from his throne, because through his mercy, he has given me access to that river. By his grace, he says, come and drink. Didn't Jesus say that? Hey, all you that are thirsty, come and drink freely of this river of life, this water of life. Hallelujah. But you see, again, when you stop being merciful, you lose your confidence. Your confidence before God, your confidence to come, your confidence to believe, your confidence that God will give whatever you're asking. It's just amazing to me how much depends upon this mercy. There was a time some years ago now where God showed me great mercy and gave me a wonderful revelation of his mercy. I mean, I'd never really understood and experienced his mercy like I did in that season. And everywhere I went, a period of time, I was talking about the mercy of God. Let me tell you, I saw some of the strongest moves of the Spirit that I've seen in all my ministry, and I've seen some pretty powerful things. There's one meeting in particular. I was in Sweden, and I was preaching at a very well-known church in Stockholm, which was pastored by someone who was deeply respected, a wonderful pastor who was deeply respected by people all over Sweden. It was a leaders' conference, and there were all the, I think you would You could safely say all the principal pastors and spiritual leaders in Sweden were at this meeting, at this conference. And I spoke in the morning session on the mercy of God. And by the time I finished, I mean, there were a few hundred, perhaps a couple of hundred of these pastors. I don't think there was one of them that wasn't weeping and openly weeping. I mean, it was God, wasn't it? But I believe, you see, that what happened that morning was that all these pastors got a wonderful, fresh revelation of God's mercy. That they saw that His mercy was so much greater than their failures. That His mercy was so much greater than their inadequacy. And you know, when you're in ministry, you're constantly confronted with your failure and your inadequacy. You feel that you're never really up to the task, that there's such immense things that God puts before you. You think, well, how on earth can I face these things? And that's good, because it keeps you humble before Him. But there was just a sovereign move of God that morning. That's the only way I can put it. And, you know, from the comments that I received after from people, it was profound in the way that those leaders met with God. And it was simply by having a fresh revelation of His mercy. But you see, I believe that God doesn't want us to get away from that revelation of His mercy. That's why His mercy is on you every morning. You know, I think I would even say that God wants us to get up, not just praising Him for the great and wonderful God that He is, but to go through the gate of thanksgiving into the courts of praise. And through those gates of thanksgiving, thank You, Lord, this is another day of Your mercy. Thank You, Lord, this is another day of Your grace. Thank You, Lord, this is another day when I can come and drink freely of that river of the water of life that You have caused to flow from Your throne and to which You have given me access. And I praise You and I bless You. I mean, you pray as you will, but you know, somewhere in the mix, there needs to be this thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. As you know, I'm doing this fresh translation of the Psalms at present. And there's a lot of repetition in the Psalms, you know. When you're having to go through them verse by verse like this, you realize that. But one of the things that David is just doing all the time is, Lord, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. You know, I'm surrounded by my enemies, have mercy. I'm being judged and criticized, have mercy. Lord, I've sinned, have mercy. Lord, I'm surrounded by my enemies. I don't know what to do. It seems that everything is lost. Have mercy. It seems that no matter what the situation, David cries out for mercy. And you know, the Psalms are wonderful, aren't they? Because often the first part of the Psalm, David is explaining what a terrible mess he's in, what... and how he feels about it. Yeah. And then he's crying out for mercy. And then he ends, "And you have been merciful to me, Lord. You have given me the victory. You have enabled me to overcome." It's as if he states the awfulness of the situation and how he feels about it. Then there's this cry for mercy. And then there's these statements of, "You've done it. You've been merciful to me. You have not failed me. You have given me the victory over my enemies." Hallelujah. Wonderful faith-building stuff, but so real. See, the Psalms are so real, aren't they? Because they do express the way you feel, even though you know you shouldn't feel like that. They express it. They put it in words. But always within this context of, have mercy. So you can understand why Jesus said to those Pharisees, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." And you know, we can get so full of all the things that we do for God. Oh, not perhaps so much you students, but when you get into ministry, your focus can so easily get on your ministry and off of God and his mercy and his grace and his love and your need of him, of just of him for himself, not just for your ministry. So, so easy to do that. Why do you hear these terrible tales of pastors only praying 5 minutes a day? Because they got so preoccupied with their ministries, they've forgotten about God. Now, you see, sitting here in the cold light of day, that seems crazy. But when you're in the middle of it all, it obviously doesn't seem crazy to them. Because it's what they've done. It is crazy, of course. Because if you, I mean, you know, any minister is only as good as his prayer life, really. But then what is the essence of your prayer life? That God is merciful to you every day. You see, the one who judges needs God's mercy because that person is right out of court with God while he's judging, because you will be judged with the same judgment with which you judge others. So, you know, it doesn't matter which way you turn or where you're at. Even when you're on a spiritual high, you still need the mercy of God every day. You're walking in loving obedience. Everything is good. But you still need the mercy of God because all of that is the result of his mercy. And in this Psalm 1, you see, let's just look at verse 3 again as we draw this to a close. "He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." I like that. Whatever he does prospers. Why? Because he's drawing from the river. But he has access to the river through the mercy of God. Without the mercy, there's no river. I mean, there's no access to the river. Can you understand me? The river's there. But your access to it is through the mercy of God. What a wonderful, wonderful gospel it is. Amen. You see, Can I just finish this by saying, God invented the gospel for sinners.
Oh, thank you, Father.
He didn't invent it for the righteous. He didn't invent it for the Pharisees, you see. He invented it for sinners. And it always amazes me that it was right towards the end of his ministry, not at the beginning, but right towards the end of his ministry, that Paul was still describing himself as the chief of sinners because he persecuted the church. Now, it doesn't mean that he was living in condemnation for what he had done all those years before. But he could remember what he'd done. And remembering what he'd done kept him in the mercy of God. Kept him walking in the truth. Helped him to have this revelation of God's grace that he always talked about the grace of God in lavish terms. He has lavished his grace upon me. And you see, we don't have any guilt or condemnation of anything from the past that God has forgiven us for. There's no guilt, there's no condemnation. But you can remember. But you see, what God says is you don't look at those things. You remember that you did them to keep you walking in the mercy of God.
Yes.
But you're not living under a cloud because of those things. You're living in freedom. And that's the thing about this river. We have free access to what God gives freely to those who come. And you see, it's the river that flows from the throne. And what does it say in Hebrews? That we're to draw near to that throne where we will find
grace and mercy.
No, what do we find first?
Mercy.
Mercy. And then grace to help us in our time of need. But you don't receive the grace till you've received the mercy. It's the throne of grace, but the mercy is the access to the grace. And the more you taste of that mercy and live in the revelation of it, the more of the river of life will flow out of you to bless others. Like I was saying about those pastors in Sweden, you live with a revelation of God's mercy yourself, and you will help that mercy to live in others. You live in the mercy of God yourself, and when you're witnessing the gospel to sinners, the mercy of God will come upon them because it's living in you. You see, whatever lives in you will get imparted to others when you share the gospel. This is why it's so important for us to live in the mercy of God. And then everything we do will prosper.
Yes.
And we shall see the harvest. I've spent some wonderful, wonderful days with the Lord around all this stuff. But you know, one of the things that he said to me during these days is that it's his will for all of his people to understand what he meant when he said, I require or I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And he was saying, you know, all my people get so caught up with what they're doing, they forget about the mercy. They lose sight of the mercy. But what I'm concerned about more than anything else in the lives of my children is that they're merciful. Which is why I say if they stop being merciful, the Father will stop being merciful to them. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So vitally important. Hallelujah. And don't we want those hearts of love, those hearts of mercy? Huh? We're not in a position to judge anyone because we have all sinned. All judgment belongs to the Son because he never sinned. Hallelujah. But he's got that place for you because of his mercy, because of his grace, and because you are seated in heavenly places, you have access to the river. Come on, let's stand. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Pura tapara za taparia leto bakarasita. You know, the Lord said that when someone stops being merciful, his heart becomes hard. And he becomes critical and judgmental. The only way to have a soft heart, a loving heart, a strong heart spiritually, is to be merciful. So just thank the Lord now. Let's come through that gate of thanksgiving. Thank the Lord that he's been so merciful to you. Thank him that his mercies are new every day. That every day we're living in the mercy of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pura tapari aleto bakara sato bakara sitri sato ba. Balandari aleto bakara sitri satari aleto bakara sitri san. Bazandari aleto bakara sitri saratori aleto bakara sitri san. Basatari eletto, bakara sitri satari eletto. Wonderful Lord. Thank him that you have access to the throne where you find mercy. Come on, just focus on the mercy for a moment. That there's no condemnation, there's no guilt for you. Because by his mercy you are forgiven. You stand blameless before him because of his mercy. Come on, praise him for that. Because you see, you can't have a place in heaven if you're guilty. You are only seated in heavenly places because there's no guilt, there's no condemnation. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. There's nothing impure in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. You're seated in heavenly places because you're washed with the blood of the Lamb. You're robed with the robe of righteousness. You're clothed with Christ. Hallelujah. This is the mercy of God. Pura tapari eletto bakara sitri sato. Pasandari eletto bakara sitri satari eletto bakara sitri sando. Basatari eletto bakara sitri sarato bakara sitri sando. Basandari eletto bakara sitri satari eletto bakara sitri sando. Balandari eletto bakara sitri sarato bakara sitri sando. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Pura pakaraba. Thank you, Lord, your mercy is so much greater than our sin. That your mercy is so much greater than our failure. That your mercy is so much greater than our unrighteousness. And thank you, Lord, that you have chosen to be merciful to us. And we just praise you, Lord, for all the fruit, all the result of your mercy. And Lord, you have been so merciful to us. We want to be a merciful people. We want to show your mercy. We want to speak of your mercy. We want to declare your mercy. And Lord, as we live in the revelation of this mercy, we pray that others to whom we speak will see their need of your mercy and will turn to you and find that they don't turn to one who judges them, but to one who is ready to be merciful to them, to the one who is ready to forgive them, to the one who is ready to accept them because of all that Christ has done for them. And we just give you glory, Father. We give you honor and praise. We bless you. Thank you that whenever we approach your throne, we find mercy, mercy waiting for us. Thank you, Lord, that every day we start, your mercy is new. Thank you that today is a day of mercy. Praise you, Lord, that you don't judge us today. You don't condemn us today. But you are merciful towards us today. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we just overflow with that mercy towards others. Oh Lord, just keep us humble before you, humble before others. That there'll just be a river of mercy flowing through our lives. A river of mercy flowing out of our lives. That those whose lives we touch, Lord, will just be so conscious of your mercy, of your mercy, of your mercy. Of your loving kindness. Of that love that you express in mercy. And we praise you, we bless you. We thank you, Jesus. Para la bazataria letu bakarasito. Balandaria letu bakarasito di sataria letu bakarasito di sanduma. Basandaria letu bakarasito di sataria letu bakarasito. Basandaria letu bakarasito di sataria letu bakarasito. Basandaria letu bakarasito di sataria letu bakarasito. Thank you that your mercy is so much greater than all our failure, Lord. Thank you that your mercy restores us. Hallelujah. Thank you that your mercy restores the joy of our salvation. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now thank you, Lord, that because of your mercy, we are seated in heavenly places. Thank you that we have access to the tree of life, that we have received eternal life through your mercy. But thank you too, Lord, that we can avail ourselves of your grace and come and drink every day, whenever we choose, of that river that flows through the center of your kingdom. Thank you that we're seated in heavenly places and we are seated alongside that river. It just flows through the center of your heavenly city, and we praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Now come and just drink of that river now, not just for yourself, but so that the rivers of life will flow out of you, will flow through you, will be a blessing to others. Because at that throne, first you find mercy, then grace. So receive whatever grace you need, grace to help you in your time of need, grace for yourself, but not just for yourself, you see. But just thank the Lord for that river. You can drink of that life right now. Sometimes when I'm praying, I just do that. I mean, I don't have any liquid there, but I just drink. I literally, physically drink. You know, it's as if I'm going... I find it helps. I mean, if you don't find things like that help, you don't do it. But I find it helps me just to know I'm actually drinking of the river of life. I'm drawing on him. It's not something I do in public, but I mean, you when you're off on your own in the secret place with the Lord, he sees what you're doing in secret. And if he sees you're drinking in secret, he will reward you openly. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I'm just a simple guy, you see, so I tend to do things very simply. If the word says drink, I drink, you know. It's... I don't spiritualize it, I do it. Thank you, Master. Now thank you, Lord, that in that river is the life that overcomes everything that brings death. Thank you that our healing, our salvation, our wholeness is in that river. And thank you that we drink of your saving grace every time we drink of that river.
Yes,
praise you, Lord. Are you receiving? Are you receiving? You don't have to physically drink now, but, you know, just know that you can partake of that river. There's an old Pentecostal song that we used to sing some years ago sometimes. Cause me to come to your river, O Lord. Cause me to come. Cause me to drink. Cause me to live. Not just to drink, but then to live with that life being expressed in my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some of those old simple choruses encapsulate such profound truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that river of life. Thank you that I have access to that river because I'm seated in heavenly places where there's no condemnation, no fear, no guilt. Hallelujah. Where I'm set free by your mercy and your grace. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Now, if you're conscious of some way in which that life needs to flow through you and out to others, you know, because of the particular circumstances you're in at this present, or there's people for whom you need to pray or to whom you're witnessing, whatever, just pray now that river will flow through you. That as you drink and partake of that river, so the rivers of living water will flow out of you. In a fresh way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.